Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart. Rather, the eyes of our understanding are further enlightened in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Okay, you can take your seat. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Okay, it says, therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Okay, so we've been looking at the local church, amen, the ecclesia of Christ in the local sense. Then we began to look at a leadership within the local church, right, in the last service. And we saw the office of the pastor, also known as the bishop or elder. You know, we said that he's one who has absolute authority, amen, within the local assembly. And the parishioners, the congregation, must submit to that authority as unto the Lord. Okay, the pastor actually is the Jesus you can see in the service. Amen. You know, some might not like to hear that, but that is the truth. Amen. You say, I love Jesus, I honor Jesus. Okay, the pastor is the Jesus you can see. Do you get it? In the service. So you can't claim to honor Jesus and dishonor those he put in charge. You get it? So how much I honor Jesus will be seen in how much I honor the pastor. Okay, he has put in charge of the local assembly. Hallelujah. So in this service, I want to just proceed from there to answer an interesting question. Okay, quite interesting. Praise the Lord. Now the question is simple. Can women lead a local church? Hallelujah. I see you looked at me. Can women lead a local church? You know, it's even very sad that we have to ask this question. Amen. Really sad. But you know, it's necessary because we have several folks today who have insisted and resolved to use God's word to subjugate the woman. Hallelujah. So, can women lead a local church? You see that several churches agree that pastoring is for men alone, right? Okay, and they base this belief on 1 Timothy 2. Now let's see that. 1 Timothy 2:11. Okay, it says, let a woman learn in silence, underline that, in silence, with all submission, underline that, all submission. Okay, look at 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach, okay, or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. So underline, I do not permit, teach, have authority, and in silence. And 13 says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Interesting portion of scripture, don't you think so? This portion of scripture has dazzled Bible scholars. Amen. No pun intended. Hallelujah. Mesmerized Bible scholars. Okay, what exactly does it mean? You see that Paul also says something similar, 1 Corinthians 14:34. So do you see I use dazzle in a context? Oh, you don't get that? Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians 14:34. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Okay, Paul says similarly there. He says, let your women keep silent. Underline that. Keep silent, okay? In the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, okay, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. on the line not permitted to speak, okay, and to be submissive. 35, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful, underline that, shameful for women to speak in church. Okay, so what is Paul saying in this text? Amen. Is Paul saying that women cannot preach in church? Okay, you have several Bible scholars who will agree and tell you that yes, that is what Paul is saying. And interestingly, many of them are old men. Taylor, hallelujah. Oh, you don't get that. Okay, how convenient. You know, you wouldn't say that if you were a woman. Amen. But he's an old man, so he says, Paul said, it is shameful, amen, for a woman to speak in church. Now, is that what Paul is saying here? If that is what he's saying, that will be very odd. Okay, very, very strange. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5, he speaks of women praying and prophesying. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 11, 5. It says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. You see that? So he speaks of women here praying and prophesying. Now, prophecy was a public ministry in the early church. Amen? It was a public ministry. See 1 Corinthians 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. Okay, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now look at 3. But he who prophesies, underline that, okay, speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to who? To men. Underline that, to men. Now look at 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Underline that, the church. So prophecy is to speak to the church. Do you see that? It is done publicly. So the question will be, how can she prophesy if she is to remain silent in the church? Do you get that logic? How can she prophesy, okay, if she is to remain silent in the church? Now we also find numerous examples of women in public ministry in the Bible. Okay, numerous examples. We'll run through them now. Okay, now let's begin with the Old Testament books of the Bible. Okay, women who engaged in ministry in the Old Testament books of the Bible, that is Genesis to Malachi. Okay, that portion. Okay, now beginning with a woman called Miriam. Now you may bullet point here, Miriam. Now Miriam was the older sister to Moses. Mother? Okay, thank you. The women shouted yes, sir. Interesting. Okay, and she is called a prophetess. Okay, see Exodus 15:20. Exodus 15:20. It speaks of Miriam there. Exodus 15:20. It says, then Miriam the prophetess, underline that, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. So you see, she's called a prophetess. Now that word prophetess used here, it translates the Hebrew word nebaya. Okay, nebaya, which is the female form of the word nabi. N-A-B-I. Nebaya is spelled N-E-B-I-A-H. Okay, is the female form of the word nabi, which means a prophet. So the Nebaya is a female prophet. Now in the Old Testament, prophets were God's spokespersons. Okay, they relayed his message to his people. Look at Amos 3:7. Amos 3:7. They are what you can call the mouthpiece, okay, of God. Amos 3:7. It says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets, underline that, okay, reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, underline that, the prophets. Now what God revealed to them, they in turn revealed to God's people. Look at Uzziah 12:10. Please be very handy with your Bible, okay? Uzziah 12:10. It says, I have also spoken by the prophets, underline that, by the prophets, and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets, underline that, through the witness of the prophets. The Old Testament prophets were called the servants of God. Daniel 9:10. Let's see that. Daniel 9:10. Okay? They were called the servants of God. Daniel 9:10. It says, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophets. Underline that. His servants, the prophet. Now note that there were both male and female prophets in the Old Testament. Okay? The only difference was the gender. Okay? So we see here that Miriam is called a prophetess. When Miriam is called a prophetess, she is described as one with a public ministry. A prophet has a public ministry. So Miriam would have taught God's people his word. Do you follow that? So she functioned as a prophet of Yahweh, just like her brother Moses. And you see that God acknowledged her. Look at Micah 6:4. He acknowledged her. Okay, Miriam. Micah 6:4. Micah 6:4. I wait for you. There now. Okay, thank you. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and who? Miriam. Underline that. And Miriam. You see that? So God mentions her among the rulers of Israel. He acknowledges her. Praise the Lord. Okay, so Yahweh acknowledges a woman. You see that? As a ruler of his people. Praise the Lord. Now next, Deborah. Judges 4:4. A woman by the name Deborah. So this is another bullet point, okay? Deborah, Judges 4:4. Okay? It says, now Deborah, a prophetess, underline that, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. You see that? At that time, underline judging Israel, okay? So we find a woman here by the name Deborah, and she said to judge Israel. Now, the judges in Israel were servants of Yahweh who ruled over the people. Okay? God raised them up after Moses and Joshua died. You follow that? See Judges 2:7. Okay? They were leaders that God raised up after Moses and Joshua died. Okay? To lead his people. Judges 2:7. It says, so the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. Now look at it. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. You see that? Now see verse 16 of that same chapter. Verse 16. It says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges. Underline that. Raised up judges who delivered them out of the land of those who plundered them. So they were raised to replace Moses and Joshua, and they gave guidance to the people of Israel. Look at Judges 4:5. Okay, Judges 4:5. It says, and she, that is Deborah, would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for what? For judgment. Underline that. For judgment. So we see Deborah, a woman, right, give God's people direction on what to do. Hallelujah. You see that she gave instructions to Barak, a man. Now Barak was the leader of the troops of Israel. Remember that? Barak was the leader of the troops of Israel. Look at verse 6 of that same chapter. Verse 6, okay. Then she sent and called for Barak, okay, the son of Abinoam, underline son. Okay, to make it clear, he's a man. Okay, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, underline him. Okay, so a man, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Okay, so she ruled over both spiritual as well as national affairs in Israel. You see that? She did so as a woman. And you see that she was also married to Lapidoth, right? You see that Judges 4:4. Okay, so she would have judged him too. Do you see that? Okay, Lapidoth, her husband, would have come to Deborah, okay, for judgment. Praise the Lord. Guidance. Okay, so we see Deborah, a female judge in Israel. Praise the Lord. Now next, a woman by the name Huldah. H-U-L-D-A-H. Not Gouda. Amen. Huldah. H-U-L-D-A-H. 2 Kings 22:14. 2 Kings 22:14. Okay. So, Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, Akbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to Huldah the prophetess. Underline that. Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Aras, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Okay? And you see that just like Deborah, Huldah was also married, right? She's called the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva. Yet, she also functioned as a prophetess. You see that the king sought counsel from Huldah. See verse 12, 2 Kings 22, verse 12. Okay, it says, then the king commanded Hilkiah, the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Akbor, the son of Maacah, Shaphan, the priest, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, now look at 13, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. Okay, so he asked for instruction, for direction, and she gave direction, instructions for the king in verse 15. Okay, then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me. You see that? So she gave what? Instructions, can we say? Directions, right? Okay, so we find Huldah, a woman, direct a king in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, then next, we have the wife of Isaiah. Okay, the wife of Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 8:3. Isaiah 8:3. Isaiah 8:3. Okay, then I went to the prophetess, underline that, the prophetess, and she conceived and bore a son. Praise the Lord. Okay, so here we find the prophet Isaiah marry another prophetess. You see that? And she conceived for him. Do you see that? We find the prophet Isaiah marry another prophetess, and she conceived for him. Now notice that she was already a prophetess before the marriage. Do you follow that? He says, then I went to the prophetess. So she was already one when they got married. So this was in Pastor Mrs. Do you get it? Okay, she already was in ministry before the marriage. So we see women take up leadership roles. Do you see that? In the Old Testament. Is that clear? Okay. Now let's move on quickly to the four gospel accounts. The four gospel accounts. Now first of all, we find a woman named Anna. Okay, Anna. Luke 2:36. Luke 2:36. Okay. It says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, underline that, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. Okay, The word prophetess used here translates the Greek prophetis. Okay, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-S. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-S. The E after H accentuated. Now, it is the feminine form of the word prophetess. Okay, so it's a feminine form of prophetess. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. Okay, the two E's accentuated. Okay, which refers to one who speaks forth. Hallelujah. By the inspiration of God. So, a prophetess is a female who is inspired by God to speak. Now, similar to the Nabi, right? And the Nebiah of the Old Testament. So, she stands in the office of a prophet. That was Anna. You see that Luke records about her that she served in the temple. Okay? It shows how she served in the temple. Look at Luke 2:37. Luke 2:37. It says, and this woman, now that woman is Anna, okay, was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. You see that? Okay, she also prophesied concerning Jesus. Look at verse 38. Okay, verse 38. It says, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him. Underline that. Spoke of him. Now look at this. To all. Can we call that public ministry? Thank you very much. Okay, spoke of him to all. Underline that. Okay, those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So we see Anna here prophesy to all. Now men and women included. Hallelujah. Now next, the woman of Samaria. Okay, the woman of Samaria, or as she's fondly called, the woman at the well. First name, woman. Middle name, at. Last name, the well. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that Jesus met her at a well at Samaria in John 4. Now turn there. John 4:5. Okay, John 4:5. And he there being the Lord Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat towards by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now look at 7. A woman of Samaria, underline that. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. And you see that Jesus discusses with her at length, and in that process, she discovers that he is the Christ. Look at verse 25 of that same chapter. Verse 25. It says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. Okay, Messiah means the anointed one, okay? When he comes, he will tell us all things. 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So, the promised Messiah is revealed to this woman. Do you see that? Now, upon realizing this fact, she becomes an evangelist. Look at verse 28 of that same chapter. Verse 28. It says, the woman then left her water pot. You see that? Went away into the city and said to who? The man. Come on. See what John did there? The man. Okay? 29. Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Now 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. So she preaches to men. Now, in the Jewish custom, women were seen as unreliable witnesses. Amen? They were subjugated. A woman's word is not taken. Do you see this? But here we find a woman. So you see what John does? He emphasizes a woman is the one doing the preaching here. Hallelujah. Okay? And you see that because of our preaching, many believe on Jesus. Okay? Verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because, underline that, because of the word of the woman. Underline that. Word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. You see that? So she becomes an evangelist and leads other men to Christ. Praise the Lord. You see that? A woman. Say a woman. Say open ring. Okay, praise the Lord. Now next, Mary Magdalene. Okay, you see that Mary Magdalene was given the honor to announce the resurrection of Jesus to his disciples. Okay, see John 20 verse 1. Okay, Mary Magdalene was given the honor to announce the resurrection of Jesus to his disciples. John 20 verse 1. Okay, John 21. Are you there? John 21. Okay, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And look at verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren." Now those who refer to the disciples. You see that? "And say to them," underline that, "say to them," can we say preach? Okay, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now look at 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, underline that, told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So you see, Mary Magdalene, a woman, is the first person to announce the resurrection. Do you see that? So God reserves that honor for the woman. The very first person to preach the gospel at the resurrection was a woman. You see that? You see that Jesus even rebuked his disciples for not believing a message. Look at Mark 16:14. Now, do you know why that is so? Because of our culture. Do you get it? Women were not seen as reliable. I told you, highly patriarchal system. Okay? Mark 16:14. Okay, so he rebukes them. Mark 16:14, quickly. It says, "Later he there being the Lord Jesus, okay, appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table." Now, why are they 11? Thank you very much. Jesus killed himself, okay? "And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe what? Those who had seen him." Underline that. Those who had seen him after he had risen. That would be Mary first in context. See verse 9. "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared," what? "First to Mary Magdalene." Underline that. See that? "He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told those," underline that, "told those who had been with him," okay, "as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe." Underline that. They did not believe. So Jesus reprimands their unbelief in Mary's message. Do you see that? In verse 14. So Mary is instrumental in proclaiming that Jesus the Christ had been raised. Do you see that? A woman. Say a woman. Say a woman. Okay. Now let's move on quickly to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Now first of all, you see the women in the 120. So that's the first bullet point, okay? Yeah. The women in the 120. Now in Acts 1, Luke records that there were 120 disciples gathered. Let's see that. Acts 1:14. Okay, 120 of them are gathered together. Acts 1:14. Okay, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication," okay, "with the women," underline that, "with the women and Mary," underline that, Mary, okay, "the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers," okay. "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples," okay. Now, altogether, the names was about 120, "and said," so women were part of that number. Do you see that? Now, these same 120 disciples were present on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Okay, let's see that. Acts 2:1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all," can we say the 120? Okay, "with one accord." Now, would that include the women? Okay, thank you. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them." Okay, "and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So both men and women spoke in tongues on that day. Do you see that? Luke says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, so no one was left out. Do you follow that? So women were not excluded from flowing in the things of the Spirit in the gatherings. Praise the Lord. You see that? Women were included. Praise the Lord. Okay, the next, Philip's daughters. Okay, Philip's daughters. You see that in Acts 21, Luke speaks of Philip's daughters who prophesied. Let's see that. Acts 21 verse 8. Acts 21 8. Okay, it says, on the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and went to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven. Remember, he was a deacon, right? Okay, and stayed with him. And look at 9. Now this man had what? Four virgin daughters who prophesied. Underline that. Who prophesied. Now that phrase, who prophesied, shows a continuous act, right? Something they did often. So these girls were prophets. Now remember, prophecy would usually entail a public ministry, right? We've said, okay, speaking to others, right? So they had a public ministry. Women, say women, say women. Okay, now next, a woman by the name Priscilla. Okay, Priscilla, you see I'm mentioned in Acts 18 verse 2. Please turn there. Acts 18:2. Okay, Acts 18:2. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. So she's described here as the wife of a certain Jew named Aquila. You see that? Now she and her husband were actively involved in the work of the ministry. You see that they both discipled a man named Apollos. See verse 24 of that same chapter. Okay, Acts 18, 24. It says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. So this man knew Bible. Do you get it? This man knew Bible a lot. Okay, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. Look at that. So his message ended at the baptism of Jesus. Now, can that save a man? Huh? What is the message that saves a man? Death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, thank you very much. And look at 26. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. I can just imagine speaking boldly about the baptism. Oh Lord. Okay, when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and look at they hear him being trained, what would they hear? Error. Right? Or an incomplete message. Now look at this. They, come on, that is both of them, right, took him aside, and both of them, amen, explained to him the way of God more accurately. You see that? So they were both responsible for teaching Apollos. Do you see that? I remember I went out on outreach one day, and then I was talking to a man, and then he said that Paul said that women can't preach in church and all of that. Then I showed him Priscilla, and then he said that no, that what happened was that Priscilla was just moving with Aquila, you know, as the wife, but it was Aquila that was doing the preaching. You know, that's dishonest. Amen. So both of them, hallelujah, were responsible for discipling Apollos, and you see that his teaching ministry improved because of them, both of them. Look at 28. It says, for he, that is Apollos, vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing them from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. Okay, so his message improved, right? Right? From the baptism, he now got the full picture because a woman discipled him. Say a woman. Come on. Say a woman. Say Obinrin. I was going to say Yanrinya. Say Yanrinya. Say it. Come on. Okay? A woman. Okay? Discipled mighty Apollos in the word. Do you see that? Now you see that Paul mentions Priscilla in his epistles as his fellow worker. Let's see that. His fellow worker, okay? Romans 16:1. Romans 16:1. Quickly. Romans 16:1. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Underline that. Priscilla. Okay, my fellow workers in Christ. Now that phrase fellow workers translates the Greek synergos. Okay, synergos, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S, which means associate. Okay, associate or a companion in a work. Now you see that Paul used this word synergos to describe those ministers who served with him in ministry. You see, he uses it for Timothy. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:2. He uses it there for Timothy. Let's see that quickly. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. It says, "And sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer." Underline that, fellow laborer, synergos. Okay, in the Greek, in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning the faith. Also for Epaphroditus. Look at Philippians 2:25. Okay, Philippians 2:25. It says, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, synergos." That's that same word, okay? "And fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need." By calling Priscilla a synergos or fellow worker, Paul is saying that she too was a minister of the gospel. Do you see that? Do you see that? He uses the same word he uses for ministers of the gospel for Priscilla. Praise the Lord. You see that Paul kept mentioning the church in their house, she and her husband. Look at Romans 16:3. He kept mentioning the church in their house. Romans 16:3. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." Underline that. In their house. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:19. 1 Corinthians 16:19. Okay, it says, "The churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house." So Aquila and Priscilla were elders. Do you see that? Over a local church. Now this church met in their house. So Paul did not mention Priscilla simply because she was Aquila's wife. No. You see that in Paul's epistles, Paul doesn't commend spouse simply because they are married to a minister. You know, that doesn't make any sense. Amen. It doesn't. So Paul only commended those who themselves did ministry. Okay, so Priscilla is therefore mentioned because she too, just like her husband, labored in the gospel of Christ. Is that clear? Okay, now let's move on quickly to the epistles. Learning so far? Okay, thank you. The epistles. Now, the epistles describe several women actively involved in the work of the ministry. Okay, several women. Now, first of all, we find a woman by the name Phoebe. Okay, Phoebe. Now in Romans 16, Paul commends all those who served with him in ministry. And the first person he mentions is Phoebe. Okay, a woman. Romans 16:1. Romans 16:1. Please turn there quickly. Romans 16:1. It says, "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister." Underline that, our sister. So a female, right? Okay. "Who is a servant of the church." Underline that. Servant of the church in Chantria, "that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has, for indeed she has been a helper of many." Underline that. "Been a helper of many, and of myself also." So Paul commends her as a servant of the church in Chantria. Now that word servant translates the Greek diakonos. Okay, diakonos, D-A-I-K-O-N-O-S, which is the same word used for ministers of the gospel. You see that Paul uses that same word for himself, Ephesians 3. Please turn there. He uses that same word for himself, Ephesians 3. Let's see that, Ephesians 3:7. Please turn your Bible there quickly, quickly. Okay, Ephesians 3:7. It says, "Of which I became a minister," diakonos. Underline that, minister. Okay, "according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power." Okay, so he uses that word diakonos to describe his work as an apostle. Do you see that there? Okay, similarly, Colossians 1:25. Okay, let's see that. Colossians 1:25. Look at what it says there. Colossians 1:25. It says, of which I became a minister, diakonos. Underline that, okay, minister. According to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Okay, that same word was used for other ministers of the gospel. For Tychicus, look at Colossians 4:7. Okay, a man by the name Tychicus. Let's say that quickly. Colossians 4:7. Colossians 4:7. There. It says Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, diakonos. Underline that, okay, minister. And fellow servant in the Lord will tell you all the news about me, okay? Then Epaphras, Colossians 1:7. Colossians 1:7. Okay? As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, underline that. Our dear fellow servant, underline servant, okay? Who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who has declared to us your love in the Spirit. So you see, use here for a minister, right? Okay, then for Timothy, 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Okay, and send Timothy, our brother and minister, underline that, diakonos, minister of God. Okay, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Okay, so we see this word diakonos, it was used for elders within the church. Do you see that? Those who had spiritual oversight and ministered in the gospel of Christ. Now that is how Paul addresses Phoebe. Do you see that? He addresses her with the same word used for ministers of the gospel. Now there are some Bible scholars who have said that Phoebe was merely a deacon, okay, in the church, not an elder, because that word diakonos was sometimes used for deacons as well, which is true. Amen. The question now is, in what context did Paul use it there, right? That would be the right question, right? Okay, now let's see that. Was she a deacon or an elder, okay, in the church? Now notice Paul's instruction in Romans 16:2. Again, go back there. Romans 16:2. It says that you may receive her, that is Phoebe, okay? Underline that, may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Now that phrase to receive in the Lord was used elsewhere for Epaphroditus. Let's see that, Philippians 2:25. Okay, Philippians 2:25. It says, yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Now see verse 29. It says, receive him therefore in the Lord. You see that? Underline it, okay? Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. You see that? Such men who you are supposed to receive. Come on. Right? Now why? 30. Because, come on. For the work of Christ. Underline that. Do you see that? The work of Christ, he came close to death, nor regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Now the work of Christ, verse 30, would refer to the work of ministry. Do you see that? So, the early church would usually instruct churches to receive ministers of the gospel. Do you see that now? Now, that is exactly what is going on in Romans 16. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? So, Phoebe was a minister of the gospel, not merely a helper. Okay? She was the servant or minister of the church at Chantria. And you see that Paul instructs the church to receive her as a minister. Is that clear now? Is that clear now? Okay, so we see a woman serve as an elder. Amen. Right? Okay, thank you. Now next, a woman by the name Junia. Not Junior. Amen. Junia. J-U-N-I-A. See Romans 16:7. It says, greet Andronicus and Junia. Underline that, Junia. My fellow countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Underline that. Who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. So here, Paul commends Andronicus and Junia, who are of note amongst the apostles. Now, Junia in the Greek is a feminine name. Okay? It is a female name. So Paul calls both Andronicus and Junia his fellow prisoners. Now, you see that Paul used this title for fellow ministers of the gospel. You see, he used it for Aristarchus, Colossians 4:10. Let's see that. Colossians 4:10. Quickly. Turn your Bible there quickly. Colossians 4:10. Okay, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, underline that, fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. You see that? Okay, then for Epaphras, Philemon 1:23. Okay, Philemon 1:23. It says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner, underline that, fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. You see that? So Junia was definitely a minister of the gospel. You see that? That word is used for what? Ministers, right? Okay, of the gospel. Also, note Romans 16 verse 7 again. Okay, go back there. Romans 16:7. Look at it again. Okay, look at it again. You see that Paul mentions that Junia was of note among the apostles. You see that? Of note among the apostles. Now that word note translates the Greek episemos. Okay, episemos. E-P-I-S-E-M-O-S. E-P-I-S-E-M-O-S. The E after X accentuated, which means famous. Okay, or notable. Well known. That same word was used for Barabbas in Matthew 27 verse 16, a notorious or well-known prisoner. So Junia was well-known amongst the apostles. This could mean one of two things. Now, number one, it could mean either that she was recognized by the apostles. Do you get it? That is, she was well-known by them. Do you get it? Or it could mean that she was a well-known apostle. That is, she was one of them. Do you get it? That's what well known among the apostles could mean. Either of two things. Now, how can we tell? The answer is found in that word among that Paul uses here. Very key. That word among. It translates the Greek word en. E-N. Okay? Which is used to group collective nouns. Okay? So what is among a group belongs to it in the Greek. Do you follow that? That's that word N in the Greek. Let's see how it's used quickly. Quickly. See Matthew 11:11. It's used there. Matthew 11:11. Okay. Actually, I say to you, among, that's that word. Underline it. N. Okay. Among those born of women. Underline that. Born of women. There has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, okay? But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now here, John the Baptizer is grouped amongst those born of women. So he's one of them. Do you see that? Do you see that? So whatever is among is a part of. That's that word N. Can I see anybody follow that? Thank you very much. So that word N groups collective nouns together. So back to Romans 16 verse 7. Let's see that. Romans 16 verse 7. Now you can read it this way. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners who are well known amongst the apostles. You follow that? So when it says amongst, that means that they too were apostles. Do you see that now? And well known. That word N. Remember, whatever is amongst is what? A part of. That's N in the Greek. So here we find Junia, a woman apostle. Praise the Lord. You see that? She's a woman and she is an apostle. Some Bible scholars, you know, sometimes you just have to interact with Bible scholars. You just be laughing. They've tried to, they've done so much exegesis on Junia. Say, no. He's a male. They even went to the Greek. She's a woman. Amen. And she was an apostle. Praise the Lord. Okay? You see that? Okay, now next. Several of them. Okay? Now, three women are mentioned. Romans 16:12. Okay? Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis. Okay? That sounds like something you'll find in Percy Jackson. Praise the Lord. Okay? Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis. Okay? Romans 16:12. It says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. See that? Underline labored in the Lord, okay? Greet the beloved Persis. Underline that. Persis, who labored much more in the Lord. Okay? Now, these three women had labored much in the Lord. You see that Paul uses that same word labor to refer to elders. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Let's see that. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. So, do you see that the Bible explains itself? Do you see that? To understand what is said somewhere, you have to go somewhere else. Do you see that now? Okay, thank you very much. So, what does it mean to labor? So, another verse will tell us. Can I see now you follow that? Okay, thank you very much. See, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. He says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you. Underline that. Labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Okay? And admonish you. You see that? Now, who are these? Pastors, thank you very much, right? The leaders, those who are over in the Lord, those are the ones who labor. Praise the Lord. So here we find three female elders within the church. Do you see that? They are called those who labored. So meaning they had local churches. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that Paul also mentions certain women who labored with him in the gospel. Okay, Paul also mentions certain women who labored with him in the gospel. In Philippians 4:3. Let's see that quickly. Philippians 4:3. Okay. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women. Underline that. These women. Okay. Who labored with me. See that? Underline that. Labored with me. Where? In the gospel. Amen. Not in the kitchen. Amen. You know, some people think that all that women should do in the church doesn't matter ministry. Have you heard that before? Matter ministry. Praise the Lord. She's just cooking. So we have a special meeting. What are the sisters doing? They are the ones in the kitchen. Amen. Cutting onions. Ariel, yeah? Okay? It says, who labored with me? Where? In the gospel. So when you see these women, what will they be doing? Preaching. Amen. Okay, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers. Underline that. See that? He calls them what? Fellow workers, right? A word used for ministers. You see that? A terminology reserved for ministers whose names are in the book of life. So Paul had women serve together with him as ministry associates. You see that? As ministry associates. Praise the Lord. Say woman. Say obin ring. Say yarin ya. You see that there? Okay, thank you very much. Then lastly, praise the Lord, John writes his second epistle to the elect lady. 2 John 1:1. He writes to the elect lady. Okay, are you there? 2 John 1:1. He says, the elder to the elect lady, underline that, the elect lady, okay, and our children whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also those who have known the truth. Now, that word lady used here, it translates the Greek kuria. K-U-R-I-A. Okay, kuria, which is the feminine form of kurios. Remember that word? Meaning Lord. Okay, one who rules. So here, we find a female elder. Do you see that? We find a female elder, one who ruled. Praise the Lord. She's called the elect lady. Do you see that? Do you see that? Okay. John makes mention of her children. See verse 1 again. John 2, it says, to the elect lady and her children. Now, these children here refer to Christians in our church. Amen. The word children is often used for disciples in the epistles. Let me show you that. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Okay? 1 Corinthians 4:14. Please turn there quickly. I want you to see this, okay? 1 Corinthians 4:14. He says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, underline that, my beloved children, I warn you, for though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, underline that, many fathers, for in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel, underline that, I have begotten you through the gospel, therefore I urge you, imitate me, underline that, imitate me. So Paul calls the Corinthian church his children. Now that is not biological, it is metaphorical, right? That means that Paul got them saved by preaching the gospel to them, right? Verse 15. You see that there? And not only that, also he discipled them. Okay? He had spiritual oversight over them. Now they were to walk and follow his footsteps. Verse 16. So children are disciples in this context. You see that? So not every time you see children, right? It speaks of natural birth, right? It could be metaphorical. So back to 2 John 1:1. 2 John 1:1. The children of this elect lady would be our disciples. Do you see that now? Members of our church. Praise the Lord. So you see here a woman have oversight over this local church, right? And over its members. Praise the Lord. And you see that she was doing her job well. She was doing a good job. See verse 4. Okay? It says, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children, literal or figurative? Huh? Okay, thank you very much. Referring to what? Okay, which are what? Members of our church, right? Can we say disciples? Okay, thank you very much. Walking in truth. Hallelujah. Underline that. Walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. So our children were walking in the truth of God's word. Praise the Lord. So she was doing a great job. Say open ring. Say open ring. Okay, thank you very much. You see that John then goes on to give her further instructions for our church. Look at verse 7. Okay, verse 7. It says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And look at 8. Look to yourselves. Underline that. Look to yourselves. So an instruction, right? That we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Now look at 9. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Look at 10. If anyone comes to you, now who will be you? The elect lady, right? Thank you. And does not bring this doctrine, underline that, this doctrine, do not receive him into your house. Underline that. Into your house. Can we say a church? Remember, the church met in a house, right? Thank you very much. No greet, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. You see that? So he instructs her to protect our church against false preachers. Now that is the role of a pastor. Praise the Lord. Paul told Timothy the same thing as well. 1 Timothy 1:2. Let's see that. 1 Timothy 1:2. Quickly. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:2. It says to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Underline that. They teach no other doctrine. Is it the same thing John told the woman? Is it the same thing? Yes. Now remember that Timothy was the pastor in the churches at Ephesus, right? Okay. So you see the same instruction is given to a woman, the elect lady, by John. So we have seen from the Old Testament, huh? Right? The four Gospels, right? Acts, right? The epistles, right? That ministry was never gender-based. Amen? Never. So, from the preponderance of evidence, it is clear that women functioned as spiritual leaders in the Bible. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, thank you very much. So that means we have to understand what exactly Paul meant in those two passages, 2 Timothy 2:11 to 15 and 1 Corinthians 14:34 to 35. You know, Paul cannot be teaching from Genesis to Malachi and say women should not preach. You know, women preach in Genesis to Malachi, right? We've seen that, right? Okay, thank you very much. You see that the promise of ministry is given to all, irrespective of gender. Praise the Lord. Joel prophesied concerning this. Look at Acts 2:14. Now remember, this was on the day of Pentecost, right? Okay, Acts 2:14. It says, "But Peter, standing up with 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, okay, since it is only the third hour of the day. 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Underline that. What was spoken by the prophet Joel. Can we call this a prophecy? Predictive. Okay, 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on" what? "All flesh." Both male and female? Huh? Or just the male? Okay, thank you. "Your sons" and what? "Your daughters shall prophesy." Underline daughters. Okay? "Your young men shall see visions." Okay? "Your old men shall dream dreams." Look at 18. "And on my men servants" and what? "On my maid servants." Hallelujah. Underline that. "Maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Praise the Lord. Joel 2:28-29. So the spirit would be given to all who believe, irrespective of their gender. Praise the Lord. That word "maid servants" in verse 18, it translates the Greek doulas. D-O-U-L-O-S. D-O-U-L-A-S. Okay, doulas. That's that word "maidservant" in verse 18, which is the plural of doule, D-O-U-L-E, the last E accentuated, okay, which means a female servant. Praise the Lord. A female servant, one who does the will of another. So look at this. Joel prophesies that when the Spirit is given, we'll find women in God's will. Praise the Lord. Do you see that? We'll find women in God's will, in His plan for their lives. Now that will is that all be saved and discipled. Look at 1 Timothy 2:3. 1 Timothy 2:3. Okay, what is the Father's will? 1 Timothy 2:3. It says, "And this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires," underline that, desires. Can we say who wills? Okay, thank you. "All men to be saved," so salvation, right? Okay, "and to come to the knowledge of the truth," discipleship. Praise the Lord. So Joel prophesies that when the Spirit is given, there will be male and female servants of God. Praise the Lord. You see that? Carrying out His plan on the earth. That plan would be salvation and spiritual growth. Now, has the Spirit been given? Has the Spirit been given? Okay, so the church is such that a person's gender does not qualify nor disqualify him from service. That is the church. Okay? The church is such that a person's gender does not qualify or disqualify him from service. Look at Galatians 3:26. Learning so far? Okay, thank you very much. Galatians 3:26. Galatians 3:26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither" what? "Male nor female." Underline that. Neither male nor female. "For you are all one." Underline that. "All one in Christ Jesus." So there is no segregation based on gender in Christ Church. Every believer in Christ has received a ministry, irrespective of his or her gender. Okay, see 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay, it says, "Therefore, if anyone," say anyone, would that include the woman? Okay, "is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new." 18. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given" what? "Us." Underline that. Given us. That is anyone in Christ. Right? Would that include the woman? Okay. "The ministry of reconciliation." Praise the Lord. Underline that. Ministry of reconciliation. The women's hallelujah sounds very loud in this service. Interesting. Okay, 19. That is, that God, hold on, was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, as well, committed to us, anyone in Christ, right? Okay, the word of reconciliation, underline that. Committed to us, the word of reconciliation. So, whoever is a new creation has received a ministry. Do you see that? The ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. Say, I have the ministry of reconciliation. Praise the Lord. Okay? Gender, therefore, is never, put it in capital letters, quote me anywhere, okay, never a qualifying factor in the service of God. Never. Let me say that again. Gender is never a qualifying factor in the service of God. Praise the Lord. So whether a man or a woman, we've all received, praise the Lord. Say, we've received the ministry and the message of reconciliation. So, let's now go back to those texts. Amen? So is the Bible clear? Okay, thank you. Let's now go back to those texts to understand what exactly Paul meant. Starting first of all, 1 Corinthians 14. As we begin to close now. Hallelujah. Gradually. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. What could this mean? You know, I even have some people who say that Paul didn't write this. Amen. You know, you should really interact with theologians. You know, one brother will just bring an angle. So you might be thinking this way. Oh, interesting. Oh, it broadens your horizons. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 34. It says, let your women, underline that. Say your women, okay, keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. The law there refers to the Old Testament. Okay? And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, I want to say this to you. Note that in the New Testament, there is just one word in the Greek for woman. Okay? Either married or unmarried. Now, it's the Greek word gune. G-U-N-E. The last E accentuated. Used 217 times in the New Testament. 217 times, okay? In the New Testament. Gune. So, the New Testament uses woman or gune for both a single woman and a wife. Do you follow that? So in the Greek, there is no word for wife. You know, in English, we have woman, right? Woman can mean either married or unmarried, right? Then we have wife to qualify a married woman. But the Greek doesn't have that. So the Greek would say gune for both married and unmarried. Do you get it? So the interpreter has a duty, okay, to determine the context in which gune is used. Do you follow that? Okay, so the interpreter, the Bible interpreter, must ask this question. Is this referring to all women or wives specifically? Okay, because the Greek won't tell you. The Greek will just say gune. Do you get it? So I now have to use my discretion. Can I see how you follow that? Okay, thank you very much. Let's see an example of this. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. First Corinthians 7:1. It says, now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay? Now, woman here would refer to an unmarried woman. Do you get it? So, fornication is not allowed. But see the next verse, verse 2. It says, nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, gune, in the Greek. Do you follow that? And let each woman, gune, have her own husband. Now, wife and woman here are the same word in the Greek. So the Greek says, let each man have his own gune, and let each gune have her own husband. Now, how do I know, amen, which is which? That is a dilemma. How do I know if gune here is the wife or woman? Now, the context will tell you. You know, Paul says, let each gune have what? Her own husband. Do you get it? So, by saying husband, Paul is referring to the marital institution. So, wife is appropriate here in verse 2. Can I say you follow that? So the context will tell you. Praise the Lord. See another example. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Okay? But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. Some brothers like this verse a lot. I don't know why. Say a brother shouting at a sister in church. I said, why shouting at me? He said, the head of woman is man. Boludo. And the head of Christ is God. Now, you need to qualify man here and woman. See, let me say this to you. When you read your Bible, when you see man, when you see woman, qualify. Is this married or unmarried? Is that clear? Okay, thank you. Now, you need to qualify here every man. What does it mean the head of every man is Christ? The question is Christ the head of the unsaved man? No! Right? The unsaved man is under lordship of the devil. I'll give you references for that now. John 8:34, 1 John 5:19, Ephesians 2:1-3. Okay? John 8:34, 1 John 5:19, Ephesians 2:1-3. So, this can be better read this way. The head of every saved husband is Christ. Can I say you follow that? Thank you very much. And the head of the wife is the husband. Okay? Not that the head of every woman in church is the man. No. This is between husband and wife. Do you get it? So Paul is teaching authority here within the marital institution. So this is not a general rule. Do you get it? The head of the wife is a husband. Not the head of every woman is a man. Can I see anybody follow this? So this is within what? The context of marriage. So obviously man and woman here, 1 Corinthians 11, refers to a married couple. Hallelujah. Husband and wife. So look at this. Instructions of submission in the epistles are for married couples only, not the whole church. So whenever, okay, the epistles tell a woman to submit to a man, it is in marriage only. Do you get this? Okay, now just follow this closely, okay? Let's see 1 Corinthians 14:34. 1 Corinthians 14:34. It says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. Now, what would the good Bible interpreter do here? What question will he ask? Which woman, right? Does woman here refer to all women in church or wives, right? Now, what will tell us? Context, right? See the next verse, 35. And if they want to learn something, let them ask who? Thank you very much. Their own husbands, underline that. Now, where? At home. You see that? Okay? For it is shameful for women to speak in church. So, is this a general instruction for all women in church or for wives only? Wives only, obviously. Now, does this refer to public speaking? No. Now, remember that we already saw Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 5. Let's see that again. Is Paul saying here that women can't talk in church? Look at 1 Corinthians 11:5. It says, but every woman who prays or prophesies, on the line that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. So women were allowed to pray and prophesy publicly. Is that clear? Do you see that there? They were allowed. Also, in 1 Corinthians 14:26, just a few verses earlier, look at what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let's see that quickly. Okay, quickly. 1 Corinthians 14:26. It says, how is it now, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, underline that, each of you, does that include the woman? Huh? Or she's left out of the each of you? Okay. As what? A psalm. Now, if Paul stopped here, men will be happy. You know, some people, they think that women is just to be leading praise worship in church. If they are not in the kitchen, they are leading praise worship. So if Paul has said a psalm, you know, some men will be happy. But he says what? As a teaching. Aha. While as a shele. They already find their face. As a teaching. Does that include a woman? Okay. As a tongue, as a revelation, as an interpretation, let all things be done for what? Edification. So women are psalms, amen. They are tongues, amen. They are teachings, praise the Lord. Revelations and interpretations in the gatherings. So definitely women were not barred from public speaking in the early church. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, so let's see verses 34 and 35 again. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, women are not stopped from speaking in public ministry, but women are stopped from a certain kind of speaking. Did you get that? A certain kind of speaking. Look at verse 34. Verse 34. Let your women, wise, right? Okay, keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. Now, not every kind of speaking, but a certain kind of speaking. But they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women or wives, wives, to speak in church. Now that word speak, used here, verse 34, translates the Greek word laleo. L-A-L-E-O. Laleo. The last O accentuated. Which means to prattle. P-A-R-T-T-L-E. To prattle, okay? Do you know what that means? To be talkative. Amen? To talk incessantly in a disruptive or noisy manner. That word laleo is where we have that English term la 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 la, right? To disturb, make noise. Now remember that Paul was correcting disorder in the book of Corinthians, right? Now I've told you that the book of Corinthians was a book of corrections, right? Okay, thank you very much. You see that in 1 Corinthians 11, he corrected women who were dishonoring their husbands, right? By not covering their heads. Remember that? 1 Corinthians 11:5, he says, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. You see that? And that head is her husband. Verse 3 tells us that. Okay, verse 3. It says, but I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman, that is the wife, right? Is man, that is her husband, right? And the head of Christ is God. So, it was the culture in Corinth for married women to cover their heads. Remember I've told you this, right? With a veil as a show of honor for their husbands. Today that is the wedding ring. But you see that some women in Corinth were not doing this. Okay, that is what verse 5 tells us. So they were bringing this honor to their husbands. Do you follow that? So Paul is correcting these women in Corinth. Can I say, do you follow that? Who is Paul correcting? When Paul says women in Corinth, primarily who is he correcting? Dishonorable women, can we say? Disruptive women, can we say? Okay, thank you very much. Now this correction continues to 1 Corinthians 14. You know, I told you that your Bible was not written in chapters. Amen. Remember that? Okay, so Paul wrote a block of words. So that correction continues to chapter 14. Now, those same women who were dishonoring their husbands were also dishonoring their husbands by disrupting the services. Do you get it? Those same women, 1 Corinthians 11, who were dishonoring their husbands by not covering their heads, were also dishonoring their husbands by disrupting the service. So Paul is correcting lousy women here. 1 Corinthians 14. Do you follow that? So certain kinds of women are in view in 1 Corinthians 14, 34. You notice Paul says, your women. Amen. Did you see that? Your women, referring to the Corinthian women of that day. Okay, lousy, noise-making, and disrespectful women who disturbed the services. Now, these are the ones that he tells to be silent in the church. Can I see anybody follow that? Can I see anybody follow that? Thank you very much. Okay, so it is shameful for a wife to make noise in the service. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay, she shouldn't be a chatterbox. Okay, and dishonor her husband. If she wants to learn anything, let her ask her husband much later after the service. Can I see anybody follow that now? Okay, so in the service, she shouldn't be saying, Oni, what are we going to eat for lunch? Do you get it? Those were how the Corinthian women were. So these are the ones Paul told to be silent. Can I see you and even follow this? Is this clear? A certain kind of women, not everyone. See, he said your women. You see that? Okay, so not every woman, certain kinds of women. Say, Oni, Ewo, Yakweju, Ashwe, fine. Do you see that? Those are the kind of women. Praise the Lord. Okay, that word silent in verse okay, that's enough of it, okay? That word silent in verse 34, it translates the Greek word sigao. S-I-G-A-O. Praise the Lord. Sigao, the last O accentuated, which means to hold one's peace. Okay, so Paul is telling these unruly wives, can we call them noisemakers? okay, to be calm and collected in the services. He's telling them, hold your peace. Do you see that now? That's what silent means. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he tells them to be submissive in church because they were not being submissive. Is that clear now? Is that clear now? That is the context of 1 Corinthians 14. Okay, same with 1 Timothy 2:11. Let's turn there now as we close. Okay, 1 Timothy 2:11 to 12. He says, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now remember, when you see the word woman, what should you ask? Okay, thank you very much. Is it the female generally or a wife? Now, how do we know? Context. See verse 13. It says, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. See that? Now, by seeing Adam and Eve, that already shows that Paul's context here is marriage. Right? Remember, Adam and Eve were couples. Okay, thank you very much. So, the woman here, verse 11, is the wife. Not every woman in church, okay? The wife. So, you can read it this way. Let a wife learn in silence with all submission. Do you follow that? Now, the question is, what is she learning? The word or instructions from her husband? Instructions from my husband, right? Not the word. Remember, this is within the context of the marital institution. Okay, so she is to receive instructions from my husband in silence and submission. Do you see that now? Silence here does not mean speechlessness. It translates the Greek word esukia. Okay, esukia. That's H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A. H-E-S-U-C-H-I-A. Okay, the E accentuated, which means calmness. It doesn't mean speechlessness. Do you get it? Doesn't mean don't say anything. Mm-mm. It means calmness, stillness. That same word was used in 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 to 12 as the opposite of a busybody. Do you get it? The opposite of a busybody. So what is Paul saying here? Simple. A woman, when being instructed by her husband, should be calm. I see you smile. Do you see that now? A woman, when being instructed by her husband, should be calm. She shouldn't be a busybody. Look at verse 12. It says, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Now, every man in church or a husband? A husband. So you can read it this way better. You can read it this way better, okay? It says, you can read it this way. I do not permit a woman, remember a wife, right? To teach or to have authority over her husband. Okay? But to be in silence. That word teach here, it translates the Greek didasko. Okay? Didasko. D-I-D-A-S-K-O. The last O accentuated. Used for several things in the Greek. But here, it refers or it means to direct. Okay? To tell where to go. Do you follow that? To direct. Or to tell where to go. Now, obviously, this is not ministry, right? Preaching and teaching the word, but marriage. You know, in ministry, women can tell men where to go. Amen. They can teach. Amen. Amen. But in marriage, that is the context here. Okay? As the husband corrects his wife, the wife is not permitted to talk back. Do you see that now? Or to be rude. That is what Paul is saying here. So she's not to teach over her husband. Do you get it? That is, try to control him. So, she should be in silence, calmness. To talk back would be the wife trying to have authority over her husband. But remember, Paul already told us that the head of the wife is her husband. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Praise the Lord. That phrase, have authority, used here, verse 12, 2 Timothy 2, okay, it translates the Greek authentio. Okay, authentio. A-U-T-H-E-N-T-E-O. A-U-T-H-E-N-T-E-O. The last O accentuated, which means to domineer. Okay, to domineer. Govern. Have mastery over. Okay, it was used in classical Greek to describe someone who is acting as an autocrat. Okay, autocrat. Or a self-appointed leader. A self-appointed ruler, someone who doesn't want to submit to rightful authority. So the wife must not stage a coup against her husband. You see that there? Okay, she mustn't stage a coup against her husband. The husband is the rightful head of the home. The wife must not try to dominate him. That is all Paul is saying here. Is that clear? Is that clear? So Paul is not referring to ministry at all. Praise the Lord. Okay, but the relationship between the wife and her husband. The only man the wife is expected to submit to is her husband. Is that clear now? Okay, then they both submit to their pastor, and then the pastor submits to Christ. Praise the Lord. That is the hierarchy. But no other man, say no other man, okay, has the right to try to direct or control a woman. None. Okay, except a rightful husband. So the woman is to be submissive to her husband and to him alone. Say alone. Do you see that now? So are these two texts clear? Can you explain it to someone now? Okay, thank you very much. And you see that this interpretation is consistent with the rest of the epistles, which teach that wives submit to their husbands. Look at 1 Peter 3:1 as we close now. 1 Peter 3:1. It says, wives, likewise, be submissive. Underline that. Be submissive to your own husbands. Underline that. Your own husbands. So not every man in church. Amen. 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 Okay, not every brother in church. Amen. That even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Okay. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, okay, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, look at this, the holy women trusted in God also adorned themselves, look at this, being submissive, underline that, being submissive to their own husbands. Underline that, okay? Being submissive. Look at 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham. Underline that. Obeyed Abraham. Calling him what? Lord. Underline that. Lord. That is Saturday, okay? Okay? Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Okay? So Peter tells you here, be daughters of Sarah. Amen? Act like she did, okay? What does he mean by that? Submit to your husband. You see that she called her husband Sir. Amen? Or Lord, that is honor. Okay, see Ephesians 5:22-24 as well. Similarly there, Ephesians 5:22-24. Ephesians 5:22-24. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Underline that. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head. Underline that, head of the wife. As also Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Underline that. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. You see that? So this is the only time a woman is expected to go lower than a man. Do you see that? This is the only time a woman is expected to go lower than a man in marriage. But in life and ministry, a woman can succeed even more than men. Amen? Amen? Okay, so we see that God's word never bars a woman from pastoring a local assembly. Is that clear now? Is that clear now? Okay, any woman who will allow herself to be trained, just like the men, can be an elder in the local church. Okay, so that means that she won't expect to pray less, amen, or study less because she's a woman. Do you get it? So we won't give her any special treatment because she's a woman. She will have to labor just like everyone else. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in all night, we won't allow us to sit down. Amen. You want to be an elder? Okay, this is the price you have to pay. Do you get it? The same training with the men. Okay? And once she's proven faithful, she becomes a minister amongst us. So in conclusion now, 1 Corinthians 14:34 to 35 is telling the lousy Corinthian women not to bring shame on their husbands by disturbing the services. Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, and 1 Timothy 2:11-12 admonishes wives not to talk back to their husbands, but to listen to them calmly. Okay, neither of these verses imply that women cannot lead local churches today. They only teach submission within the marital institution. Is that clear? Okay, so can we have female pastors? Is it clear now? Okay, we can't have female pastors. If a woman will simply labor like the man, okay, she too can become an elder amongst us. Okay, like I said, that means that she won't be given special treatment. Let me say that again. Amen. Okay, every day she's also laboring. Praise the Lord. She studies her Bible just like the men. Amen. Prays just like the men. Okay, and then she assumes that role, that responsibility. Okay, so as a woman, let me say this to you. Don't let anyone subjugate you. Is that clear? Is that clear? Is that clear? Okay, don't let anyone bring you down. You are God's servant. Say, I'm God's servant. The women now, amen. Say, I'm God's servant. Okay, say, I'm in His will for my life. Say, I preach the gospel and I get men discipled in the name of Jesus. Okay, so did you learn today? All right, lift your hands, give God praise. Thank Him. We continue from here in the next service. Give Him praise.